The Lord doesn't have good days and bad days. He is Himself. He is the everlasting God. Amen. And you and I are privileged to come before Him and know Him. Somebody shout, I want to know Him better. Come on, shout, I want to know Him better. I want to know Him more. Praise God. I said in response to our service, I believe it was last week. It was either last week or the week before. I said to one of my friends on the way out, I said, you know why my children don't worry? Do you know why they do not worry? And I answered the question. I said, because they know who I am. They know who I am in their life. Praise God. And when you know experientially who He is, you have no reason to worry. Amen. Because your life is in His hands. Somebody shout, I know Him. And He knows me. Say, He is my Father, and I am His child. Amen. If you're glad, would you clap unto the Lord today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, by the sound of this microphone, I feel like I'm preaching a conference. But by what I see, I realize that I'm not preaching a conference. Amen. But we're going to have a great time here today in Sunday school. I'm going to talk a little while, teach, and try to convey some things that I personally feel are vital to our spiritual survival. And how many knows that you're not just all soul? Why don't you pinch somebody, not very hard, just reach over and pinch them a little bit, just kind of touch him and say, you're not all soul. You are a living soul, but your soul has a body. Say, my soul has a body. Amen. And the body, of course, houses, we carry the soul. This body does. Amen. And we know that the soul is the source of life. God breathed into Adam. He breathed into a form. He breathed into flesh. And man became a living soul. And I believe there's a scripture that talks about us being preserved blameless. And it deals with our body, our soul, and our spirit unto the coming of the Lord. And so I want to talk a little bit today about your life. Your not just your flesh, but your soul and your spirit, but mostly today I'm going to be dealing with your humanity, your body, your mind. Now, I'm not a doctor or a physician or a clinician, so I'm not really qualified to speak on an authoritative level as far as medically or scientifically, but I will teach and speak to you today from the scripture concerning something I feel very, very important, very strong about. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, if you'll turn there with me, Genesis chapter number 2, and while you're turning there, look at it, at least one, perhaps two people, and tell them, keep yourself awake. You look tired, but please try to keep yourself awake. And then you can give them this statement, because if you don't, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help keep you awake. Amen. Sometimes you have to have other people in your life to keep you awake. Hello? You ever been tired and it's late at night, you're driving? And you're nodding, you're closing your eyes, and you're starting to swerve. Thank God for people in your life that will help keep you awake. Amen. And keep you focused on where you need to be going. Hallelujah. Can I get amen today? All right. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 1. If you'll read with me. thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Say, whew. Whew. They were finished. Aren't you glad when you finish some things? You finish changing the oil in your vehicle. You finish your day's work. And all the host of them. Everybody say, it was finished. Next verse. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. Everybody say, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day. Everybody say, God rested on the seventh day from all his what? From all his work, which he had made. In Exodus 31 and 17, you don't have to turn there, but the latter part of that verse says, and he rested and was refreshed. Say, he rested and was refreshed. Everybody say, refreshing. Amen. I want you to set your Bibles down. Let's pray. And just let me talk to you for a little while. Amen. Lord, we're so thankful for the Word of God. So thankful, Lord, that every issue of the human life, God, can be dealt with and addressed in the Word of God. There's no new thing under the sun. Everything that has been, is, and shall be, Lord, according to the Word of God. Hallelujah. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And you have made us, Lord, as eternal beings, yet there's a part of us that dies. There's a part of us that fades. There's a part of us that ages. There's a part of us that feels weakness, and we experience tiredness and fatigue, and we tend to become very weary, and that is in our flesh and in our humanity. And we're asking, God, that you would speak to us and let us know and understand and comprehend, Lord, what you are wanting to communicate into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am going to talk a little while just from a scriptural standpoint about the importance and the necessity of rest. Everybody say rest. Now, I'm not talking altogether about sleep necessarily, although sleep is one of the ways that we rest. Everybody say, I need rest. Look at someone and say, you need rest. How many could stand just a little bit more rest? Huh? Talk to me. Could you use just a little bit more rest, a little bit more sleep? Amen. Praise God. Now, we don't want to get you off balance. We don't want you to be a sleeper and a slumberer to the point that you become very slothful. You lack diligence in the things of God. We don't want you to become off balanced and sleep too much. You know, there's a lot of people that die in bed. They die in their sleep. Some saved, some not. But today we're just going to talk for a few minutes on the necessity and the importance of rest. And I don't want to put you to sleep this morning. So you can take some notes if you'd like, just so you will have a scripture to help validate what I'm talking about today. God is our creator, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows us better than all of the medical professionals and the physicians. God knows humanity better than we know ourselves. He made us. He put us together. And he knows our limitations. He does. He knows our inside and our outside. He knows we need a strong defense. We need a strong immune system. In fact, if you are deprived of adequate sleep over a period of time, your immune system will weaken and you become more vulnerable and more susceptible to infections and disease, etc. So your body needs sleep. Your body needs rest. And of course, the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, describes and details the importance of rest. First of all, because God himself, he ended his work and he rested and was refreshed. And the Bible says on the seventh day. Now, we're not going to talk today necessarily about a particular day, but just about the subject on the importance of rest. The book of Numbers, chapter number 9, verse number 21 through 23. You can read with me if you have your Bible. If not, I'll just read, and you can trust that I am reading from the Scripture. Numbers 9, 21, I'll start reading there. And so it was when the cloud, everybody say the cloud, abode from even unto morning, that the cloud was taken up. Everybody say the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed. Everybody say, then they journeyed. Say that they didn't go anywhere until the cloud was lifted, until God began to move. When God moved, when the cloud, and of course that was symbolized by the cloud, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night. If the cloud moved, they moved. That the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Everybody say they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried, everybody say tarried, upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents, and they journeyed not. Everybody say they journeyed not. So basically, they learned to follow God. Everybody say, I, as a disciple, as a follower of Christ, need to learn how to be sensitive to his leading. Everybody say, sensitive to his leading. All right. You notice God doesn't do everything at one time. When you look at the Scripture, there was certain things he made on day number one. And then when day two came, he continued his work and he made some more things. And then when day three came, he made some more things. And then there was day four and day five and day six. So God doesn't do everything in your life that you expect or want him to do in one day, in 1 week, or even in 1 year. Now, I've been attending church since 1992, faithfully, but I am not where I am going to be. I am not everything that God wants me to be tomorrow, because tomorrow's not here. But perhaps I'm everything that God wants me to be today. Hello? You can be everything that God wants you to be today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. God will help you get to where it is he wants you to get. Of course, we have a destiny. We have a destination. But we need to learn to live one day at a time. Everybody say one day at a time. Jesus had a time. He had a season. In the fullness of time, he came. He was manifest. And in fact, it dawned on me some time ago that he spent 30 years becoming a man before he ever launched into full-time ministry. And this is something, a principle that I tried to convey to young men, because everybody wants to preach now and nobody wants to take time to grow up. Hello? Just because you're old enough to sow seed doesn't mean you're mature enough to be a father. Might take a little while for that to sink. Just because you're old enough to dish it out, to sow seed, doesn't mean you're mature enough to be a father, to be a leader. Hello? All right. So God does things in time, and he doesn't do everything all at once. In fact, if he did, he would overwhelm us all. And the Bible even talks about the blessings of God. You know, pressed down. What does it say? Pressed down. Give me this scripture. Yeah. Running over. Yes. Yeah. But notice he doesn't do all that at one time. He doesn't give you all the blessings that have been assigned to your life. He doesn't give them to you all at once. No. If I gave my kids everything they wanted all at once, you know, they would probably go out and just ruin their lives and self-destruct. God knows what we can handle. He knows what we can handle today. Hallelujah. Somebody say today. Learn to live in today. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a schedule, an itinerary. There's nothing wrong with having goals and visions and things that you want to accomplish and so forth. But learn to live in today. Today has enough worries and problems of itself. Praise God. Let's read further. At the commandment of the Lord, verse number 23, at the commandment of the Lord, they rested. Everybody say they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. So the Lord knew what they could handle, how much they could handle. And so he abode there for a certain time and they rested. And then when the cloud was lifted, they began to journey. And I feel that as a people of God, we need to learn how to follow the leading of the Spirit of God in our personal lives. Everybody say, in my personal life. Because God knows my limitations. And the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed, and they kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In other words, their leader had a lot to do with helping them understand the leading of the Spirit. Everybody say, you need leadership. Praise God. We need the ministry. We need the ministry and the gift and the operation of the Spirit. But all of the gifts are subject unto government. Hello? For the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. All right. God is a God of order. And let's read on. Esther chapter number 9. Chapter 9, verse 22, and I have a few verses to read. I'm not going to keep you long because I have a time frame. I have to be done at a certain time today. Esther chapter 9, verse number 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested, everybody say they rested, from their enemies. Whew. How many is, I don't know if I should get a show of hands or not, how many has ever been in a fight, a fist fight? Ooh, look at you. Now, was that while you were saved or before you were saved? Somebody say both. Say, I was saved and I fought somebody in my mind. In my mind, I was whipping them. Amen. I just didn't act out what I was thinking. Praise God. Because they may have swung back. And we may not have made it to church that weekend because of our appearance. Amen. Anyway, let's go on. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Sometimes it's very refreshing just to stop fighting, stop warfare, and take some time to enjoy the blessings, the goodness, the gifts of God. Everybody say, I need to enjoy life. I like a little cake every once in a while. I like to be invited to a party. And you know how we are. Sometimes we go to parties, not because we're fond of the person, but because they're having food. And there's a festivity, there's a party going on. You know how we are. You know, you see certain people only during party time. They're just there for the event, not necessarily to honor or to celebrate, to rejoice with that person. Amen. I just threw that in there for free because I know how we are. Amen. But it's very, very important as people of God that you understand that there's a time and a season for everything. You can't always be fighting. You can't always be engaged in spiritual warfare. Because your humanity has limits. Your humanity has limits. You can only pray in the Spirit so long. You can only fast so long. You know, we think that spirituality is the answer to everything, and that is not true. That is not true. You can become so spiritually off balance that you burn out before you reach your destination, and you begin to break down because you haven't learned to take time to rest, huh? And be restored and be renewed. Amen. And we're going to go into that in just a minute in a little bit more detail. Somebody say, praise God. And Psalm 23, and a friend reminded me of this yesterday. In fact, it was Sister Mangan. Now, she is a powerful woman in prayer, very powerful in prayer. And she literally prays, from what I understand, hours a day during one time. Now, she may go into prayer and pray for 3 hours straight, just praying, interceding, worshiping, touching God, you know, kind of operating in the Spirit and so forth. But she told me herself that that we have to have rest. We have to have some time where we pull away from everything and from everyone. And we rest our spirit, we rest our mind, we rest our body. Because our body is the vehicle. Hello? Your body is the vehicle. And if the vehicle breaks down, how are you going to carry the gospel? How are you going to sow the seed, the word of God into soil? If your vehicle begins to break down. And so she helped me to understand that, in fact, she gave me some detail, and this was some time before. She said, not everyone has the same talent or the same level of drive, or you know what I'm saying? She said, you cannot expect a person with one talent to do what a person does with 3 talents. In other words, the person that has been gifted and enabled and empowered with 3 talents or 5 talents, you can't expect someone with 1 talent to keep up and do the same thing as that person that has been given 3 or 5 talents. Now, to give you an example of that, I look at Pastor Kyle. Now, he is multi-talented. Okay, I'm talking about as far as ministry is concerned and leadership. God has equipped him and given him a greater capacity to deal with situations and people. He's given him a greater capacity, more talent, so to speak, than he's given me. And I can't keep up with Pastor. That's why I have to pray for Pastor because I can't do what he's doing. But I can help him do what he's doing. Hello? Amen. And if you look in, I believe it's the book of Acts. I don't know if it's chapter 6 or chapter 16. There was a situation there, and the people began to complain and say, hey, our widows are being overlooked, and this is a problem, and we want to resolve this. And so they came before the apostles, and the apostles said, it's not good. It's not wise that we would leave prayer and the word of God to serve tables. It's not that we can't, because we can, and we can do a very good job at it because we have a gift of hospitality. you know. But what they were saying is, you need to pick out some men among yourselves who are wise and full of the Holy Ghost. And these, if you understand, these were administrators. They became administrators. They administrated. Hello? So that the apostles could continue in prayer and hearing the voice of God. Amen. And knowing and understanding the word of God and the direction of God, so that they can convey that voice, that word, that message, that understanding, that knowledge, that wisdom to the people. So, and someone told me recently, they said, if Moses is on the mountain and Aaron and Hur is there with him holding up his hands, hello, we have to hold up the hands of our minister, of our leader, of our Moses. But this is the point that he brought to my attention. He says, while Moses was on the mountain with his hands lifted up, Joshua was in the valley battling the enemy. So some of us have to have our hands up while others have our hands on. And we're all working together to fulfill the purpose and the will and the plan of Almighty God. Hello? We can all do the same thing. I can meddle on that for a little while, but I'm not. But Psalm 23, verse number 1, as a shepherd, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I believe that the Lord knows what's best for the sheep. He knows what's best for you as an individual sheep, and he knows what's best for us as a flock, as a herd, as a congregation. And he says, the next verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the part I want to focus in for just a moment is, he maketh me to lie down. Everybody say, he makes me to lie down. And if you understand sheep, sheep don't lay down a lot, because they're an animal of prey. They're not a predator. They're not a predatory animal. They are an animal of prey. And so sheep are naturally fearful. They really are. They're sheepish. You've heard of the term? Ooh, he's kind of sheepish. And the Lord knows that. And David come to the revelation that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. God is concerned about the welfare, the life of not just the herd, but the individual sheep in that flock. Fear, everybody say fear, will drive us to spiritual, mental, and physical exhaustion. How many has ever been exhausted? Physically, mentally, spiritually, we have come to experience exhaustion. It is fear that keeps the sheep from lying down. And there's a lot of tension in the flock. Everybody say, there's a lot of tension in the flock. Friction among ourselves. We need to understand this. There's a lot of friction in my house. I've got 4 kids. I've got a 20-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 9-year-old. There is friction in my house. And we could go over, I put a new sign up in the bathroom, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I've got 3 boys. You could just figure it out for yourselves. Hello. But there's friction in the flock. There's a lot of tension, a lot of friction. And God knows that. There's rivalry. There's competition. These things are normal and natural. There's fear of the unknown. And I said before, sheep are very fearful creatures. They're animals of prey. And they need a shepherd. Everybody say, they need a shepherd. They need a leader. And of course, David come to this understanding, the Lord is my shepherd. He make me to lie down in green pastures. And we need to understand this, that one reason why sheep do not lie down is because they are afraid. They're always on the lookout. They're always watchful. they're afraid. Perhaps they're aware of their own vulnerability, their own weakness. I don't know. But sheep will not rest. They will not sleep. They will not lie down if they feel like their life is threatened or if they are afraid. But the Lord is concerned about the life of the sheep, and He will make us lie down in green pastures. He will drive away fear. He will release peace into the herd. He will let us know that everything's going to be all right. This is a safe place. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. Our God is a refuge. Hallelujah. We can abide in Him and abide under the shadow of His wings. Hallelujah. And we can learn to rest in Him and allow Him to lead us to that place, to that point where we set everything aside and we just learn to be still and know that He is God. He is the shepherd. I can't do anything about some things, but I can know Him and I can rest in Him and let Him live in me. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord today. Praise God. Come on, give the Lord some praise right now. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Come on, let Him lead you. Amen. Let Him guide you. Hallelujah. Now, some days He may lead you to war, but there are other times where He will lead you to rest. And the Bible says He leads me beside the still waters. Oh, praise God. He will lead me beside the still waters. And water, of course, determines the vitality and the strength of the sheep. I read that in the body of a sheep, it's 70% water. So water is vital. It's very necessary. And I compare that to our lives. You know, we as spiritual people, we need the Spirit. We need the hydration of the Spirit. I need the presence of God in my life. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. I need the touch of God. I need to feel God. Amen. Amen. I need the Spirit of God to hydrate my life. Amen. So that I can be strong. So that I can have spiritual motion. Amen. You know how it is to become dehydrated. You get all cramped up. That's why a lot of people in the church are cramped up, because they're not letting themselves, amen, drink from the water of the Spirit. But the Bible says, He will lead me beside the still waters. And of course, we know that when the water supply drops off, the tissues begin to dry up, causing weakness. And of course, the result is it results in your body being damaged. And God doesn't want you to be a damaged person. God wants you to be strong. Amen. To be invigorated. And so He knows that we must have water. Praise God. King David was a warrior. Everybody say King David was a warrior. But he also knew the life of shepherding. And he knew about sheep. And there came a time in David's life after fighting many battles. And he had been in war a long time. But if you read in the book of Psalms chapter 55, David began to cry out, I need rest. I need rest. I've been fighting the enemy. I have worn myself thin. And I need rest. I long for rest. I long to be with Him, because He is the rest. And He is the refreshing. How many knows the God that we serve can give us rest, and He can give us refreshing? And that is one of the benefits of having the Holy Ghost live in your life, is the Holy Ghost can give you rest. The Holy Ghost can refresh you. Amen. And if we don't learn to let God make us lie down, to yield to God when He is saying, it's time to be still. It's time, amen, to let me lead you beside the still waters. If we don't experience that aspect, amen, of the leading of God, then we will never get to a point where our soul is restored. Because that's the next verse. He restoreth my soul. How can He restore your soul if you don't let Him take care of your mind and your body? God cares about all of you, not just part of you. Amen. Let's raise our hands to the Lord one more time. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord cares about all of you, not just one part of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like I care for my pinky, I care for my fingernail. Hello? How many's lost a fingernail? Don't want it to happen again. I care about my fingernail. My fingernail's a part of me. God cares about you, all of you. Warfare, stress. There's so many things that can lead to exhaustion. Spiritually, mentally, physically. We can come to a point of exhaustion. Our minds and our bodies, we need to understand, can only take so much. Becoming more spiritual, as I've said earlier, is not always the answer. It's not the answer to every solution. It's not the answer to every problem. I want you to hear this. Becoming more spiritual, praying more, fasting more, is not the solution to everything that you're facing. Do I believe in prayer? Absolutely. Do I believe in fasting? Absolutely. Amen. But we need to understand that we have to take care of our bodies. We got to take care of our mind. Hello? Now, I'm not going to get on nutrition because I'm not really qualified to deal with that right now, because I'm still battling with that conviction. Amen. I have a desire, but my body's not cooperating with me, you know? Because, you know, we take in all the food that the world processes and produces, and it's got all the chemicals, and then, you know, the next thing you know, you're addicted to certain types of food or the chemicals that are in that food. Hello? How many enjoys coffee? Huh? All right. I'm telling on myself. But spirituality, praying, fasting, revival. We think revival is just the answer to everything. I mean, do you always need to be revived? Hello? Can't you be revived and then just live for a while? Enjoy? Hello? You know, that's one of our buttons that we push. Revival, revival, revival. You think Jesus needed revival every week? Wake up, say, "Ooh, I just need revival. I need revival. You know, I'm having a hard time casting out devils. I just need revival." No, if you learn to be consistent and balanced, you won't always need revival. Hello? If you learn to be balanced in your life and learn to live in the day, today, then you won't always need, you know, revival, revival, revival. But you can walk in the rest of God. You can walk in the peace of God. You ever notice that while Jesus was in the boat, everybody else was afraid, but he was asleep? The Lord spoke to me through a vision some time ago, a couple years ago in prayer, and said the Lord, or the church and the world is in a big storm. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and we're being tossed back and forth, and we're feeling the pressure of the elements, not just the natural element, but the spiritual elements. Hello? But the Lord let me know in prayer that I can abide, I can have peace, and not be moved by the storm, not become fearful by the circumstances. And the Lord let me know that if the church learns to abide in him, when everybody else is afraid, we can have peace. Hallelujah. And the reason why Jesus could say peace be still is because there was an abiding peace within him. You can't speak what's not in you. See, we want to speak against situations and it's not in us. But if we learn to abide in him and him in us, we'll bear the proper fruit. Amen. We'll be able to do the works of him that sent us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say this. An improper diagnosis leads to an improper treatment. Men, listen. Men, just because your wife gives you a hard time on the way to church, during church, after church, doesn't mean she's less spiritual than you. Doesn't necessarily mean she needs to pray through. You may need to give her a break because it might be that time. Hello? She might be, hello, going through that little season, that monthly cycle. All right? If you're not quite sure, then Google it. Get some information. Get educated. I can remember back in the day when my mom, I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why is she always mean? Why all of a sudden is she short with us and, you know, she's not cooking much this week. Get some cereal. Fix a sandwich. What is wrong with her? Well, after I grew up and become educated, I realized what was wrong with her. Prayer couldn't fix it. It had to go through its cycle. Hello? I needed prayer so that I can endure to the end. Amen. All right. All right. Ooh, glory. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Sometimes all we need is a lifestyle change. Sometimes all we need is just a good night's rest. Just a good night's rest. Hallelujah. I'm learning something. This is truth. That it costs more. It takes more time and requires more effort to fix, rebuild, renew, restore an old, worn out, broken down vehicle. It takes more time, more effort, more money to fix it, to repair it, to restore it. It costs more if you let things go. If you go without proper rest, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time till you get so far down and you're so exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually that it costs more. It's going to take more time, more effort to get you built back up. I realize if I keep my oil changed, I'm preaching to me now, keep a good set of tires on my vehicle, I might make it to my destination without breaking down. God has a destiny for your life. God has places for you to go, things for you to do. And yes, we need to understand warfare. We need to understand the things of the Spirit. And one of the things that we overlook is the necessity, the need, the requirement of rest. We need rest. And if you look at Jesus, there was a time where the Bible says he sent the multitudes away. He sent them away because he knew the difference between pleasing people and pleasing God. He knew the difference. A lot of us don't know the difference between pleasing others and pleasing God. There are some things that God has not assigned to me. There are some things where you ask me to go, but God is saying, no. Now, I'm not talking about being rebellious, because you are always to be obedient to your leadership. And if they're wrong, that's between them and God. Hello? I'm responsible. I'm accountable. For God's sake, I will obey the man of God. I will obey my leader. And if he tells me go home early and get some rest, I'm going to go home early and get some rest. Whether I need it or not. Take a day off, Brother Sapp. Yes, sir. Well, I'm not sure if it's the will of God, but I will obey my leader. I close with this. James said, go to now. He's saying, listen up, guys. You that say today or tomorrow, we will go into a city and we will have revival and we will continue there a year and we will buy and we will sell and we will get gain and we will just kill every devil. We'll cast out every spirit. We'll do everything that we want to do because we have zeal, because we have vision. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And James says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. One of the reasons why we become weary in well-doing is because we haven't learned the rest of God. We haven't learned to lie down, amen, in green pastures and let the Lord lead us beside still waters. Just raise your hands to the Lord right now in response to the word of God. Amen. I have given you the word of the Lord today. Hallelujah. God is wanting to teach his children not just to wage war, but the importance of rest. Rest in your body. Rest in your mind. Hallelujah. So that you can be renewed in strength. Oh, come on, come on. God is not looking for a dead sacrifice. He's looking for a living sacrifice. Come on, he's looking for a living sacrifice. I need rest. I need rest. Amen. Amen. If you're thankful for the word of God, just put your hands together today. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Take a few minutes, refresh yourself. There's some free water. Amen. In the foyer. Go to the restroom. Get your kids from Sunday school. And we're going to start our main service here in just a few moments.